Howdy, folks. I'm your host, Chris, and we are coming out of the Emerald Closet. After 2 years of web design tutorials and crash courses in audio editing software, we've achieved liftoff with this inaugural episode. By gathering and sharing these stories, we are, in a way, on the front lines of exploring drug law reform. That's because we are now beginning to hear from responsible consumers, the group with the most knowledge of safe and effective practices, yet whose voices had once been, and still are to a degree, systematically repressed by prohibitionist policy. Responsible consumers can best answer the new questions we are facing post-legalization. What does responsibility really look like once our abstinence-only models are scrapped? What do we want legal marijuana use to look like? Who gets a voice when we describe how to use or misuse cannabis? And how does all of this interact with parenting and work? Before we get started with our first guest, there is one more important point to make about the podcast. Part of a post-prohibition society I'm looking forward to will be establishing a model, or more accurately, several models, for responsible use. Hence, a crucial aspect of our format here in the podcast will be how to smoke pot responsibly. It sounds a little ridiculous at first, right? But the more you think about it, the more crucial it reveals itself to be for public safety and best social and community practices. Sure, we know not to drive while impaired, we know not to smoke in any public area we please, and we know not to ingest edibles before reading the dosage. Okay, good, I agree to that. In return, I have the privilege, as an Oregonian homeowner over 21, to grow my pot in the backyard and invite people over to smoke some of it with me while we tell our stories. This is how we begin consuming cannabis responsibly. Aiding me in this noble task, co-creating a centerpiece for this first episode. You gotta tap an old friend for a favor like this. This was only my second attempt at organizing and recording a state-legal, Cole Memorandum-obeying cannabis ingestion form. I was still on wobbly legs. You need a friend's support at this early stage, so I'm glad Lawson came on board. He and I have known each other since his freshman, my junior year of high school back in the early 90s. We were both joining the theater department, and we shared many a stage over the next couple years. College and marriage sent us to different cities for a while, but nowadays, we both live here in Portland, the City of Roses. I really gotta hand it to Lawson, not only for his selfless candor, but for jumping right in there and going for it, without a clear idea of what exactly all this is. I had a vision for the podcast, but I wasn't practiced at conveying that vision quite yet. Lawson opened right up and had no qualms about the privacy piece I was expecting to nurture for a show like this. Thanks for making it this far in my long-winded introduction, folks. It's not a circle till you join in. Let's proceed to an orange-clouded sunset 2 Augusts ago. The sun is setting, it's approaching the horizon. We're sitting with my friend Lasa. He's going to give you a quick introduction to himself right now.
My full name is Niels Lasa Christensen. I've been having to use that first name.
Wow, so you're coming out of the closet like no joke, man. You just went full three name, okay.
Yeah. A lot of people keep saying I should go by Niels, because I guess it's easier to say. No, Niels is on my Uber name, so I wind up hearing it a lot. That's the Uber driver, because the app, because I, whatever. Anyway, Lhasa, I go by Lhasa. Introduction. I live here on 17th in Brooklyn. It's on Brooklyn, but it's not in Brooklyn. So yeah, it's that's not.
I mean, you don't have to give us your home address. I mean, wow, you take. I mean, you can give us your social if you want to get for real.
Right, right. Two kids, many careers.
All right. So Lhasa mentioned his two kids, and he and I have had a little bit of a discussion so far regarding this, but I hope we get into it really deep here about. I'm out to my son, but not to either of my parents, and Lhasa is out to both of his parents, but neither of his kids, so we'll probably be exploring those two flip sides of it.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
So, let's start off with, I guess we'll go generally chronological, so we'll start off with your parents.
Okay.
So you knew that they smoked pot or have smoked pot as you were approaching the teen years?
Yeah, well, right. Okay, so at age, what age? 9 or 10, my mom told me that my parents got married with Joseph Acid in 1969.
Did you know what acid was?
No, yes. Well, and then she told me she had smoked pot a lot, and I didn't know what that meant. I was like, how many times? I just remember asking her how many questions, how many times did you smoke pot? And she was like, and I said number something like, was it over 300? And she was like, yes. And I was like, wow. But I think I was about 10, 11. I mean, it was a little bit too early, really, to know all this stuff. I think. It was too early for my mom to tell me about the other stuff she told me about. I don't necessarily know. It was too early for her to talk to me about, you know, drugs.
Did you have any strong opinion about it? Because I know that when I was that age, I was still very much in the just say no mentality and all drugs are bad and anything that's put in that category kind of makes you a criminal and bad, poor moral character.
I'm honestly trying to...
Did you look at your parents a different way? Did you look at them
Wow,
you engaged in, you know, some sort of...
Well, my mom had to tell me this other stuff too, which was really sort of what colored my... view of adulthood. Anyway, my parents were supposedly had an open marriage. Part of the reason they got married is so my mom could stay in the country. My mom's Finnish, and you know, they met in graduate school, and she would have had to leave had my dad not married her. And I found this out months later, but whatever. They were part of the sexual revolution. He was a philanderer. He was a man about town.
Is this in America or in Finland?
No, my dad and mom met in Minnesota in the late 60s. My dad's married. But as to my conception of what I thought weed or any of that was when I was younger was really just like this foreign thing. I mean, up until, let's say, the age of... I remember hearing in 7th grade that somebody had smoked pot, and I was kind of shocked.
A student?
Yes. I remember 7th grade. Yes, exactly. But I was even more shocked about here when I was in, I remember in 7th grade and hearing about a guy who I knew, who I was friends with, who had shot heroin, and he was probably 3 years older.
What grade were you in?
7.
Wow.
So his name was, Mark, I don't remember. But anyway, I didn't... Also, actually, no, take it back. When I was 8 years old, 3rd grade, I met these guys. I was good friends with this guy who was 5 years older than me. He was 4 or 5 years older than me, and this girl who was 18. And they smoked cigarettes, and I chewed tobacco at the playground at Truro Pool.
Truro, okay, that's one there. And how old is this?
8. I was 8.
You were chewing tobacco at 8?
I was chewing tobacco. So my mom must have told me this stuff when I was 8 or 9, really inappropriate years. I remember taking my mom had this book, The Joy of Sex,
on
the bookshelf, and I remember taking the book and going down to that same playground and dipping Skull Bandits. Skull Bandits when I was 8 years old.
Looking at, like, Japanese lithographs?
Yeah. So I guess, I definitely have always had a sense of, being excited by danger. And doing something that was, like, somewhat inappropriate or whatever, like totally inappropriate. How did an 8-year-old even get a hold of these things? But I knew these older kids who, like, whatever.
So then I
stopped being friends with them, and thankfully, I think, and then I had a more normal sort of progression through 5th, 6th, and 7th grade. Yeah.
Because I remember there was just, you know, and it was unspoken that marijuana was evil, just like cocaine and terrorism.
My mom talked to me, but, well,
I would see it in movies every once in a while, and that kind of formed a couple of my earlier opinions, and I was wondering if there were any, like, pot smoking scenes from movies or after school specials.
I remember the Fast Times at Ridgemont High. I remember
that.
I was 9. It came out 85. I saw it in 85.
So
maybe 86.
Was Spicoli like someone, you know, that you were?
Well, that wasn't the scare. Pot smokers was just like, oh, they're funny. I mean, it was always funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. You generally, yeah.
So
people
when
are funny, people are laughing when they're high.
Right. As you get older, did you smoke cigarettes then before you started smoking pot? Or is it the same, pretty much the same?
Yes, I had started smoking, end of freshman year. No, even beginning, and then I took a while off and then started actually really like buying cigarettes. But the reason I started smoking cigarettes because I thought you had to know how to smoke them to be an actor. And I remember cigarettes in movies, and, you know, there was
of course, man.
Cigarettes on TV.
Looks great on
TV. I was like, okay, well, I don't need, but I need to know how to smoke. I need to know how to look to smoke.
Oh, so in case one of your roles
One of the roles requires it, I better, you know. So I did, but then along those sort of same lines, I guess it was something that was, like, dangerous and exciting.
Okay, so was pot, smoking pot dangerous and exciting as well?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. When you did, like, finally get to smoking pot, I'm curious when that kind of, when you broached the topic to your parents, was it kind of pretty soon afterward, or was it a while later, where you kind of said in retrospect, like, oh, by the way, I've been smoking pot for a few years? Like, I'm wondering, like,
you,
that...
You, well, it was
like,
it
when
regular.
Found out,
I didn't become a daily pot smoker until college.
Did your parents, like, I'm basically wondering, like, when they found out, and if so, like, kind of how that went down between you and them. Like, was there
yeah,
a time
they were more upset about the cigarettes. I mean, because they were possible, you know, they were hippies, so.
Were they still smoking pot when you were, once you started smoking pot?
What's that?
Were they still getting high?
No.
When you
retiring, it doesn't matter. Okay. It doesn't really affect you at all. It's legal in Oregon. It's 2015, bitches.
Well, I mean, it's legal to smoke, but, you know, you can still get fired or have your kids taken away from you.
Yeah, yeah, right. No, that's true. That's true.
Was there a time while you were still living with them in high school that they knew that you were smoking pot?
Sure. I mean, smoking pot, I don't know. Like,
I guess to me it's such a huge divide. Like, it seems to you that it was kind of like
your parents
the sort of soft.
Your parents didn't really do the hippie thing. I mean,
yeah,
the open marriage or whatever. I mean, international travelers. I mean, your parents weren't true liberals in, like, a sense of a cosmopolitan liberal.
Yeah, yeah.
A cosmopolitan international liberal. I mean, a cosmopolitan international liberal doesn't give a flying fuck what people do, really. I mean, you know what I mean?
Yeah, because
like, they don't judge. They don't, you know what I mean? Like, you've been exposed to far too many differences to have fear of the new or whatever. Anyway.
To me, there's a very hard boundary
right.
between them
right.
knowing and them not knowing. And
yeah.
we kind of... We play, I mean, we've all...
Well,
and
you had
it's
major punishments around it, too, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't...
But there was always this sort of dance between, there would be, like, a definite, I know that you are currently smoking pot,
yeah.
versus this sort of ridiculous game we played, where they would ask, and I would have to say no, and then we...
They would say, like, are you smoking pot?
Yeah. And then it would be a very, very tearful, like, my mom would be very upset.
Yeah.
And she'd be on the verge of tears, and her voice would be cracking when she asks me.
Right.
So, I mean, I know it would be wonderful if we had this open relationship where I could say yes, but I knew that that was just basically, and to her mind, was kind of like, yes, I'm an active addict struggling with a habit, you know, which is just the way that she heard it. And I would hear her talk about this to, like, the pastor at our church. She would say...
Right, the church guy. Well, you're the church guy.
Chris is using again. And I'd be like, whoa.
Oh, man.
Come on, man. Like, don't frame it like that.
Yeah.
But there was
well,
no...
There
was no talking...
Yeah.
There was no talking sense back then when it came to that sort of thing, you know, with my parents being... So when I keep asking these questions, because
right.
I'm like, in my mind, well, there has to be some conversation where you actually said to one another, looking in the eye. But it seems like that kind of wasn't the environment that you were growing up in, you know, where
I was going to sit you down and say, like, three times in my life. Like, growing up, I was in a church three times, maybe. My mom's agnostic, you know, and probably in her worst moments, atheist. And my dad my dad was not really involved. He was not as involved a parent at all, really. So, didn't have much influence. My dad really didn't have much, I mean, he had influence on me psychologically, but, like, influence in me, like, guidance-wise and, knowing what I was up to. I only saw my dad every weekend. So it was really my mom. And yeah, I mean, for my mom, like, as long as I got good grades and I didn't, you know, like, I took out the trash, that was mostly enough for her, you know.
So she wouldn't have cared one way or the other.
No, she cared. She has cared. And as long as her fear for me.
Regarding pot.
But like, I have always disdained my mother's fear for me, regardless of what it would be, and always reacted defensively, and I guess that's always gotten me into troubles with her. Obviously, a parent should concern themselves with their children's lives. But I think that the more fear that a parent projects to their children just around anything, the worse, you know, the outcome for the kid. Because I think to realize our fullest potential, we have to know that anything is possible, right?
Sure.
And what is holding everybody back from realizing their fullest potential is the fear, right? So when it came from my mom, I just, whatever.
Did she ever find any paraphernalia or anything?
Yeah, I even had a little pot plant in my closet. Yeah, I think so.
When you lived with them?
Yeah, when I lived with my mom, maybe sophomore, junior year, maybe junior year.
High school.
Maybe senior year. I don't know. It was a crappy plant. I mean, it was like this stemmy bullshit that I grew. But she found it. She found it and ripped it out. I mean, it was ready to go. And I mean, I don't know if she grounded me. I mean, I was never grounded for more than a week, let's say.
But she was. Was she clearly nonplussed to have found it?
She was more worried. She was more worried about the drinking. You know.
Okay. Because that was kind of one of the things with my parents, was that there was always a quote-unquote signs. Oh, you know, the music is that he's listening to is going this way, and his appearance, you know, his hair is getting longer, and,
right.
You know, like,
I
the activities
long,
he's
yeah.
engaged in and all that.
Yeah. My mom was most worried about that every second.
All right, so we're back. So you had that plant at home, and your mom, I'm guessing that your mom was, she was kind of pissed about it. How did that confrontation go? Did you, like, come home from school one day? Like, walk me through that.
I almost can't remember. I remember my most traumatic... I don't remember. My most traumatic moments were when she cast me and I was drunk. You know.
Oh.
And too drunk. And, like, something bad had happened. I remember... Well, and the one time she found paraphernalia was the... sophomore year. It was just weird. I had stolen all these Vivarin and like Sominex. Oh, and Dramamine.
Oh, right.
Remember Dramamine?
Yeah.
Anyway, I had some of those and she found those. And it was a bunch. Like, I had like a bunch of packets. Not that I'd really take them. I don't like pills. I don't like pill poppers.
Seventh grade, I'm listening to classic rock, which was not called classic rock back then. It was called druggy music and party music. So, like, my best friends had the Led Zeppelin shirts and the Doors shirts and the Pink Floyd and Grateful Dead shirts, but I was, like, way too scared to get anything like that because it was already bad enough. I had the records and was playing the music. You know, and I was growing my hair long, so that was, like, a huge red flag to them. And so I started hearing from middle school, you're on drugs.
Oh, but, even before you started smoking pot?
Oh, years before, yeah.
Oh,
that's
dude,
one
that's
of the things,
so lame.
That's why I have such a difficulty now because, for instance, like, I'm friends on Facebook with people from middle school and high school.
Yeah.
And it's just one of those things where I don't want to come out and say, all right, everybody, mainly because I have this nightmare scenario where everyone just looks back at me and says, oh, dude, give me a break. We all knew all the time. You're so stupid for thinking that no one already knew that. Because people already, quote-unquote, knew that long before I was even getting high. Anyway, that's kind of my own personal thing about why I have a hard time with Facebook, at least. But I know, like, with my parents, I was, what were to them, red flags.
Talking about weed, you mean?
Yeah. So there were those sorts of, you know, and my political views were definitely a strain from theirs. So, which to them, you know, were all these kind of indicators. And I would, every once in a while, I'd have a book or I'd be watching a video or something where there'd be a drug mentioned and it wasn't in a condemning tone. So it kind of became this weird, how much can I hide until I graduated high school and left. But there was this sort of weird, there was this tension about, you know, all right, Chris, are you smoking, you know, are you smoking pot, are you taking drugs? And I'd kind of have to say no. Because if I said yes, then it'd be like, great, now we got to put you in an inpatient rehabilitation program. You know, we got to yank you out of school. So it was always this kind of like silly dance.
Yeah.
And then so, and it wasn't until college where I actually kind of, where I got in trouble and I kind of had to say like, this is what I, you know, this is what I got in trouble for. And that was hell. You know, I had to break the news on like a 90-minute drive from Richmond back up to Fairfax. So it was just me and my mom in the minivan. So she was just like going through all of her emotions while driving, you know, 60 miles an hour on the highway. It was horrible. And yeah, she was like, you're going to have to drop out of college now and go to rehab. And this is just for, all I got in trouble for was having pot in my possession in my dorm room.
Right, right.
But I got kicked out of the dorms and had to find a new place to live, which I was super ready to do. But it was just such a blemish. And then have my older sibling who had addiction, active addiction issues at the time. So to her, it was just like, whether it's alcohol or pot, it's the same mechanism to her mentality.
Oh.
So she was like...
Right, well, to your mom's
mentality. Yeah, to her mentality. So to her, it was like, I'm losing, you know, my older sibling was the firstborn. I'm the second.
Yeah, right.
So to her, she was, you know, she was going through her own guilt trip about how am I screwing up these kids to where I'm sending them to drugs because their life is so unbearable that they would do something so unspeakable with such high consequence, you know, such crazy consequences as, you know, taking drugs. So she, you know, that
I
was...
I mean, like, right.
So, yeah, there was a lot of coddling.
He said doing, what'd she call it?
Using.
He's using again.
Oh, I remember when she said that because we had this... We had this pastor at my church who was kind of, you know, the cool pastor. He had a picture of himself, you know, on his desk of like however many years ago when he had long hair. And, you know, he looked like one of the Doobie Brothers. And so it was like, see, Chris, he's cool. You can talk to him.
Right.
Because there was no way I was speaking openly to any adult. We had this appointment with him. And so he and I talked about it. And it was just this kind of ridiculous thing where I kind of... I felt like I had to leave the conversation with having convinced them that I would no longer take any illegal drugs, even though I had no intention of...
Yeah, well, how old were you?
I was 17, probably.
Well, of course that's what you have to do.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying, like, can you believe it? Isn't this, you know, isn't this a surprise? I'm just saying that's, you know, that was a lot... how I had to handle it.
Because, I mean, shit, people lie every day. I mean, I lie every day, I'm sure,
but,
you know, at some
point.
Yeah.
And so, but that, oh no, that was, I was 16, and then 17, like a year later, kind of had to cop to something. I don't remember exactly what it was. But yeah, so we went right back to this dude's office, and it was the same, it was like my mom in tears, and then me kind of going like, you know, I'm not a raging, you know, out of control addict. You know, I smoke pot. I think
acid is more dangerous. Acid is clearly a different deal than weed.
But there was this funny, there's this thing I've been thinking about lately where, you know, I was raised to just say no, just say no. And then there was this weird window in 1989-ish where it kind of changed from just say no to make intelligent choices about drugs. And that was right when I was kind of starting to develop a little bit of an interest. And so I was like, oh, yeah, that makes sense, make intelligent choices. So I always felt I was making intelligent choices. I mean, I made a couple of unintelligent ones, of course, just through the folly of youth. But for the most part, I made smart choices, you know, like I didn't eat a mouthful of acid and, like, go to brunch with my immediate family who wouldn't approve and I'd have to hide it from. You know, like, I wasn't making those kinds of dumb decisions. It was, oh, there's a poetry reading tonight. I can sleep over at a friend's house, and then we can get high in the afternoon. And then, you know, and it was all... It wasn't what I felt she was portraying.
Yeah, right. Well, you know, I mean, teenage, adolescents are always doing that shit.
So, I mean, my conversation with my parents, mainly my mom, my conversation with her has been one of kind of placating her emotions. So I was never really able to be honest. I was always kind of like, well, I want to be able to go out with my friends next weekend, so I have to make sure I don't get in trouble. So when she says, you know, I'm leaving the house, she goes like, are you going to, and then she would get really vague. She would say stuff about, you know, you're not going to do stuff, are you? And I'd be like, I know what you're talking about. We're going to say no because we have this dance to go through.
Right.
But,
Yeah, yeah, the adolescent parents, what are you doing this weekend dance?
Yeah, you know, or like, you're leaving the house, I know you want to go out this weekend. By the way, are you getting high? Are you smoking? Like, it was cigarettes, too. You're not going to smoke cigarettes, are you? And I'd have them, like, tucked in my sock or something. And I'd be like, dude, don't make me a liar. You know, like, I don't want to blame you and say you're making, but it is kind of like, I can't give you an honest answer and still, I don't know. I mean, I'm sure anyone listening can understand that. But,
yeah, well, I mean, it's, you know, that's not real life. Yeah, that's nowhere near adulthood.
There was this one really interesting period that happened. It was eighth grade. We were doing, for my youth group for church, we had like a lock-in, you know, where everyone spends the night in the church together. And they had done like a pretty good, actually, for a church, like sex ed thing like that. And one of them, this one lock-in, we had there was this drug portion that came up somehow. And I remember I kind of figured that in my not so immediate future, I'd probably be getting high at some point, but I had no immediate plans, no idea how to get it or anything. But it was just kind of starting to turn. I was just turning from, like, you know, the obedient 8-year-old who said, why should there be search and seizure laws? You should never have drugs on you. You should have, of course you can go to jail. I was kind of changing out of that into just having my curiosity piqued, and I kind of knew. I was like, someday I'm probably going to try either pot or acid.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I knew. As soon as my mom had told me that she had tried it, I mean, I knew I would be trying.
Yeah. So I remember this one lock-in. We were having a somewhat frank discussion, a group discussion, not just me and my parents. And one of the parents said something to the effect of, like, you know, I don't expect you to ask me before you do it, but I would like to know after you've done it, it being, you know, quote unquote, take drugs, whatever falls under that rubric. And I remember kind of laughing, and one of my parents was, you know, the parents kind of sign up for shifts throughout the weekend, and one of my parents was there for one of the shifts as a chaperone. I remember kind of laughingly looking at them and smiling, being like, really, you want me to tell you that, that I smoked pot? And they were like, yeah, yeah. And I remember kind of laughing to myself, like, okay, one of these days you're going to get what you ask for, and it's not going to be pretty. And at that point, I was completely drug-free, so it just became this, like, all right, I'm going to hold you to it, and we'll see what happened. And then...
Wait, what grade was this?
Eighth grade. But then by the time I started actually getting high, which was 10th grade, I'd been getting in trouble for their suspicions of my getting high for so long that there was no way that I was going to say, like, oh, guess what? I finally started what everyone has been accusing me of for so long. So, yeah, I've never really been able to have that conversation with them. But you, high school, you're not having an active conversation with your parents about I currently get high. Is that...
There wasn't much to discuss. Assumed I was partying.
Okay.
When I looked, I mean, when they found out I was smoking, my dad's reaction, they found out I was smoking regularly at the end of junior year. And my dad's first reaction was, well, then we're going to withhold his college tuition.
Okay, so he was not cool with it.
No. Well, I mean, cigarettes. I don't think I ever really, I mean, but my dad was a weed smoker. I first smoked weed with my dad when I was like 20.
All right. I'm going to start...
Year four.
I'm going to start this bubbler.
Yeah, okay.
And I want you to tell me, while I'm smoking, in delicious detail about getting high with a parent, because I've heard about this thing that people do sometimes about smoking pot with their parents,
right.
And it just blows me away completely because I can't even comprehend.
Well, I mean, okay. But hold on. You can edit this part.
All right. Here, I'll use this to get my awesome audio clip of a match being struck.
Right, go ahead. I probably only smoked weed with my dad. I mean, I've really only... Since high school, I have probably spent a total of 20 sessions with my dad. I mean, that's just what happens when you become an adult and you move away and your parent lives internationally. My dad lives in Switzerland, so I really haven't seen him that many times. 20, 25 times, right? But sometime in my 20s, I know we smoked weed. We didn't, I got married at 23. And I don't think we probably smoked weed until I was maybe 24, 25. And we've maybe smoked weed together like three or four times.
But as a husband, as a married man, you probably came off as a responsible adult by that point, I'm imagining.
Oh, no. My parents don't find me responsible in the least.
Okay. So tell me a story about, like, you and your dad getting high together, like, where you are, under what circumstances.
I remember in
what you smoke out of, whose herb you're smoking.
I had brought, I swear, the first time, we smoked in San Francisco, yeah, because I smoked with Janice, yeah, right, okay.
Is that his girlfriend?
No, his wife, yeah. I mean, it was out of a pipe. Yeah, and I probably only smoked with my stepmom maybe twice. I specifically remember once.
Are they active smokers, or...?
Yeah, somewhat. I mean, not like myself, but pretty active smokers. Or I mean, they buy in bulk, so they just have, but I think they're probably, like, weekly. I don't think they're daily. I'm sure they're not daily. Weekly to monthly, I think.
And where does he live? What country did you say he was living in?
He lives in Switzerland half the year and Hawaii half the year.
Okay, so when you're saying buy in bulk, I'm thinking in Switzerland, I may have my European countries mixed up, but is that one of the more cannabis-tolerant countries?
Pretty. I remember smelling weed on the train.
Okay, because I know I was reading something about a place where you can get caught, like, scent bags or smelling bags or something, and it's kind of sold almost under this notion that it's, like, just something that, like, you squeeze and the aroma is, you know, pleasant. But it's dry cannabis flowers, it's pot, and you can, you know, roll it up or pack it and smoke it. But I'm just thinking that, like, when I think of buying bulk in Switzerland, it's different than when I think of buying bulk in Hawaii.
There was this big to-do right before my divorce. My last trip to Hawaii, the trip to Hawaii before the last one. The last one was pretty decent with my kids and just me, but it was the month that basically ended my marriage. So it was the trip that my half sister found out. Gee, that was a big deal for her.
That's a train. Yeah, no one could tell that was a train going by.
So we can just keep jogging.
Yeah.
Okay, you're not gonna stop it. Okay.
Hold on. Let me see how long it lasts.
Yeah.
I mean, because it's kind of cool to have it quietly in the background. I just don't want it to get to the point where we can't understand your third or seventh word. You know?
Yeah. Okay. So that trip to Hawaii, project. I generally project. So my half sister, she found out that she had that my dad smoked weed at all. Didn't know anything about the origination of my parents' marriage and. Their weed smoking or their hippiedom or their... My mom hasn't smoked weed in 30 years.
Family secrets kind of come out sometimes when one of the... You know, like... I've seen, like, one parent is sober, and, like, now's not the time, and the other one is like, no, now's the time. So I was wondering if there's a little bit of that going on. That happened to me learning I had a half-brother. You know?
It's
kind of my mom going, like, oh, boy, I don't think this is a good idea, but I don't have control over it. And my dad going, like... Time to, you know, learn more about your life in case a stranger knocks at the door.
Yeah.
But,
you should know as much about your life as possible. It's amazing how much people don't share
around their family members.
And how nervous people get about stuff like that. Anyway, history's important. That trip, when she found out, she then, like, had a subsequent... She acted out and whatever. She, like...
You don't have to go into detail if it's not...
Details. But anyway, finding out that her parents smoked weed was a big deal to her.
Fucked her world up?
I guess it kind of fucked her world up.
So this is this Hawaii... So you're on Hawaii vacation together.
Ago, yeah.
There's a lot of family there, it sounds like? Like more than just...
Well, it was my half-sister, my parent, my dad, and my stepmom, and the kids.
Okay, so that's a... It's not quite a smattering, but it's getting there.
Something like that.
Okay. You want some flour?
Yeah, I'll take a little bit of flour. And her. Oh, ending of my marriage. Weed smoking. Weed smoking had something to do with the end of my marriage.
Yeah, we don't have to talk about the end of your marriage. We can just talk about... We can just let that be known as a sort of a factor that also occurs simultaneously while, you know...
Yeah.
I mean, this isn't my marriage... This isn't my counseling podcast. This is my... My smoking pot in front of your family and how did all that go podcast. Okay, so after I feel like you're like I'm giving you like all this talking to do, so I have a story I'll tell after after yours, or if you want.
I'm not sure if I have a story about the end. And the thing.
Okay, you were saying that your half sister wigged out.
She wigged out. I had gone through this that year before. I had gone through this major self-shame around alcohol and weed, and had to do a lot of research. So, I mean, some real good outcomes came out of that, and I went, you know, some great outcomes came out of that, you know, sort of a release, like, but my soul was in the dregs for the fall following, before that. And this trip to Hawaii was a big fucking deal. This trip to Hawaii that year was a big fucking deal.
Like, what was hanging in the balance?
My soul? Yeah.
Okay. When you said a big deal, like, I don't know if you're saying, like, that was when we were going to say that we were pregnant, you know, or, like, some kind of, you know.
No. No, it was a big deal because I was working this shit-tastic job, making shitty money, and feeling, like, fucking crap about my future and my kid's future.
So for you, like, personal internal things?
Personal internal things. Okay. Okay. So that trip, was a big release, and then it was a big release to really kind of meet my half-sister for the first time, because she was an adult. She was finally, like, I don't know, 20, I guess, 19, 20. And that was the first time as an adult, so and then I was going to tell her all, or I wound up telling her all these things. But, I mean, just the discovery of Hawaii snorkeling, like, being in the ocean, just finally relaxing, like, feeling like, you know, like, not, fucking, you're in Hawaii, it's fucking tropical paradise, and, you know. At that time, it was the perfect thing because I was making all other kinds of realizations about myself and fighting my depression and I was on antidepressants at the time. I was on Prozac and I wanted to get off and so then I became after the trip to Hawaii, about a month after that, after I lost my job at Powell's Books. It was like I lost my job at Powell's Books like a week after we got back from Hawaii. Just this huge time in my life, and then about 2 months after that, I wound up leaving the house and getting divorced, separating, because the release that happened around that. But I just remember that trip to Hawaii, feeling like my pot smoking, like I really wasn't in control, and that she didn't really want. She didn't want to have someone who wasn't in control around her.
So. Yeah, I've talked to her a little bit about it. And yeah, that sounds...
Whoa!
Yeah. So, and that sounds, yeah, exactly kind of what she was conveying, you know, how it looked to her. So during that trip, your half-sister finds out about your dad and blows her top.
Right. I mean, blows her top a week later at school, yeah.
And then your spouse is totally not down with your smoking. But I remember also earlier you told me, I think, that you and your half-sister smoked together.
Yep. We all did.
Okay.
It's not that Mandy doesn't smoke. It's that she found my use to be...
abusive?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Yeah. All right, well, you enjoyed that. So I got to thinking, I'm like, well, who in my family have I smoked pot with? No parents. Although I've been around them high plenty of times, but I've definitely made sure to cover it up, like, breath-wise, and, you know, I'm really hyper-vigilant about making sure my behavior is not too challenging for them or anything. So it's siblings. I've never smoked... pot around. There's me and my older sister. We're 2 years apart, and then 7 years, and then my younger brother and sister, and they're 2 years apart. So my older sister, I've gotten high with. My younger brother, I have.
Right. Well, I smoked pot with my brother when I was like 16 for the first time.
Okay. Did he kind of have his...
So that, he was always a validating force for me and sort of that.
But he also, I'm assuming you felt that he kind of had his eye out for you, you know, like not an abusive relationship with pot or anything.
Well, who wouldn't? Yeah, anybody, nobody wants to
see
somebody.
Well, I don't know. I've seen people.
He was not, I'm not
their
saying
own personal
enabler.
Friends who are, no, not that he's an enabler, yeah. But just, I'm assuming you can feel comfortable in his presence knowing that you're not making some huge mistake, you know, that you're not, you know, in terms of getting high together.
Well, I'm going to see him next week, and I would imagine we'd smoke some weed.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, like my brother was the most recent, and that was just before I got married, so that was like fucking 10 years ago. My sister, just in high school, was definitely better for her than booze was. Yeah, it's cool. She was just a lightweight and just got ultra contemplative, like when we got high together.
Well, that's the beauty. It allows me to quiet my mind, right? I mean, that's...
Yeah, she didn't really quiet it. I mean, she she still fired off a lot, but she was more in awe and giving of it and just like... She and I kind of like when you get high and you have that kind of spark of making connections between previously unseen things.
Yeah.
You know, I remember one time we were sitting, it was a cruise, we were in the Caribbean, and there was an island that the cruise ship stopped at that was really small, and all it had was like their bar, their duty-free mall, and then there was the beach, and no one went to the beach. It was, you know, just cruise people, you know, who just wanted to, it was just another place to get a drink or something.
Uh-huh.
But I scored some island ganja off of a cool cab driver, and so we rolled up with 18.
Okay, yeah.
And so I rolled, oh no, it was right before I turned 18, but yeah, pretty much 18, freshman, beginning first semester of college. Uh-huh. Yeah, so we rolled up there on this beach. There was just these three beach chairs just in the middle of like this beach with like no one there, you know, no one was at the water at all. And it was just like sand, thick jungle, and then the trail where you came in on, so super secluded. So we just picked up a couple benches, walked around the bend, you know, the jungle part, just laid them there and like rolled up. And smoked there, facing the ocean. And yeah, she was just, you know, isn't it funny that, like, we're in an island where the natives are the tourists? You know, just, like, kind of things like that. She just kind of, like, mulled over and just kind of chew on it for a while. Whereas before, she would, if she wasn't high, she might have those thoughts and, yeah. You know, and be like, yeah. Well, what the fuck, man? Well, what are we? What are we supposed to do? And get all weird on it. But, I think that was the last time I got high with her.
Yeah, I really haven't. I mean, I haven't seen my brother in a long time, but...
She asked me one time, it's probably like 15 or 20 years ago. She was kind of giggling. She was like, do you still smoke pot? Not like, do you want to go get high right now, but just kind of like, I can't even tell. Do you? I could see it. I could not see it, you know. And I dodged it. Actually, I didn't give her a straight answer.
Most people have always been surprised that I'm a weed smoker. Most people I ever made it work.
Yeah. See, I'm getting that now.
Not,
like,
not
people at work are really surprised about it, and it's the first kind of time in my life where I don't wear my hair in a way or dress or act in a certain way or my beard where I don't look like.
Yeah, well, you had those dreads for so long.
Yeah, and then I had like long hair for a while.
Cool out here. You want to go inside or blanket? Or?
Let's get blankets and continue out. So, yeah, so that was smoking with my sister, and then my brother, he's a heavy metal guitarist in L.A. with long hair and cowboy boots, so, I mean, he likes drinking and smoking pot.
Sure.
And he and I had a really good time getting high together. The night before I got married, he was in town and he stayed with us. He's totally bachelored out and, like, stayed on our couch. Even though my mom and dad were in a hotel and would have put him up, but we were just like, dude, crash with us, man, and you'll stay. So yeah, so he and I just stayed up real late, and our garage was really sweet. We had a two-car garage, but it just had a couple sofas and a stereo, and we stretched the cable out there and had this really nice table, this glass table, and my typewriter, and like everything was in there. But yeah, we just hung out and just had a really good time playing records and watching stuff and TV or whatever, like talking about funny stuff about like our mom and like our family, just sharing our perspectives on growing up on in the house and all that.
Right. Yeah. Well, it's different. You're a bigger family, more age spread.
Yeah, like to remember that. Oh, there was a point where there were only two children left in the house, and you guys were.
Yeah.
I mean, I do feel though that even when I was 16, I was like, God, I really wish we could speak about this honestly. I really wish I could say I smoke pot. Yeah. These are my decisions about my, you know, the circumstances.
Life must be edited, dude, and just, you know, as close as you want to be to the parents, you know, especially your parents and your family, like, and your final end, it's like, other people's limitations are only their own. So, you know, if you want to expand, you can't let their limitations, you know, hold you back. I think that's key. Like, just around, like, moving past your parents. I mean, the idea of evolution is that one must move beyond one's parents if one is to embody all the, or embody what life is there for.
Yeah, I guess I just haven't viewed on that large a lens, or that all, that encompassing a lens. I've kind of been viewing it as generational, and then I have to admit I'm really angry.
That's what it sounds like.
Well, just cynical about the fact that I couldn't have this conversation with them because the Just Say No campaign, which was focused, you know, on the surface towards me and the younger kids, was really, to my perspective, was this huge brainwashing of the adult population, of the insecurity of the parents of the 1980s. And like, it had a big effect on me, which eventually I grew away from or grew out of. But I feel like it did a number on so many of the parents.
They were big Reagan supporters? I mean...
Maybe it had to do with living in a suburb of Washington, D.C.
They must have been... Are they Republicans there or what? Yeah, are they Christians?
No, they don't think they are. I mean, but, you know, the point being...
They don't think they are.
I mean, they don't call themselves that. My mom called herself a progressive the other day, and I was like... she said they're not progressive and liberal like us. I mean, I understand. I adjusted for the standards, you know. It was a big adjustment to the standards, the local standards. So I'm angry at drug war propaganda that brainwashed my parents. The whole reason why I couldn't be honest with them. It just seemed like if I was honest, I would just get so punished. So anything that would clamp, you know, I already felt so clamped down and held back that there's no way I was going to have an honest conversation that would just, I felt, would just put more shackles on me. So that was the climate. If you smoked pot at all, you were in, at, you know, that was by definition abuse. It says clearly in the book, any illegal drug cannot be used, it can only be abused. So if it's put in that category, there's only abuse. And so it was, you know, if this is the drug that your child is taking, it is abuse. They are an addict. They require treatment.
Right. You know. Well, I mean, here's the... what a fucking plant. What a fucking plant. Cannabis and the cannabinoid receptors. Much good. I mean, we are, but whatever, dude. Like, they are meant to die in evolution's ladder. We are standing here, 2015, and it is perfectly fine for us to grow and consume this plant from God. Right? And
I agree. I'm not the one who needs, you know.
Nor does four of the states and, you know, basically half of the country, likely half of the Western world. And anybody who has consumed the plant can respect parts of it, not necessarily. I mean, and can see. I mean, there's upsides and downsides to everything. But like your parents, they've never even fucking smoked weed, have they? Have they tried it?
Well, here's the thing:
have they ever tried a mild dose?
I should ask him about that. That would be a good way to open up a conversation about first person-ish conversation about pot with him. My uncle made a joke at Christmas or Thanksgiving. It was neutral and everyone laughed at it, so that was cool. I don't give them credit for having views that have evolved since I moved out of their house in the 90s. Our conversation and dialogue isn't current. You know, I've been coming out a little bit in terms of telling them what my work is I'm doing for school, and that's been really cool, but I haven't come full out and say, like, I currently smoke pot. I'm assuming it'll come up, you know.
Yeah, I just don't think about it. I guess it is. I used to consume before 6 o'clock, and now I generally consume only between 6 and 11. But I always use the tincture to go to sleep. I mean, that tincture, yeah, it's the bee's knees, man. It's the real deal. It's like, you know, God's giving you a gift.
Yeah, I'm
better than Prozac. Better than Prozac.
Okay, so we've talked a bunch about our parents, but we haven't talked about kids at all. Do you want to, is that daunting to do another
No,
56 fine. Minutes? Or do you want to like continue some other time? Or
well, we were supposed to talk about that at the beginning, so yeah. Or that was how you introduced it, parents and kids, yeah.
Yeah.
Kids. Talk about labor.
Yeah.
I just don't think it's going to be much as much of a problem. I have to deal with him first. And I have to deal with them in isolation because of the 3 years apart. But he is obviously...
You mean in isolation from his sister?
Exposed, yeah. I mean, okay. I mean, and that's normal, right? I mean, he's going through puberty, and I have to have the puberty talks. Actually, we're going to do this month in Hawaii. Because he's entering seventh grade, and my friend was telling me that she knew kids who were teen pregnant in middle school. Motherfucking knocking up nobody.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, so you have a strategy?
You have basically. I just need to lay the facts down. In terms of the usage among adults, the fact. I mean, it's legal, but anything can be abused. I mean, any substance. Something is neither good nor bad, but thinking makes it so. I don't know. I mean, just discussion around the facts and discussion around what he knows. I mean, really, I just want to begin with what he knows. I want to be able to teach him certain elements around cannabis and cannabinoid receptors in the central nervous system. I mean, our CNS is so...
You're going to lay some biology on
fundamental. I mean, I'll lay some biology facts, some usage facts, some social facts.
It's natural. Because I definitely...
Yes, it's a plant.
I was definitely taught that it was a drug, and drugs are crazy artificial things. Like,
I mean, it is...
Outside pollutants.
Yeah.
Have you seen The Botany of Desire? They've got, like,
a
big portion of it on mankind's relationship to cannabis.
Well, it's the four plants. Yeah. Yeah, it's a really good book. I didn't see the movie. It's a movie, eh? It was a book.
Okay.
But
yeah, it's great. It just illustrates mankind and this plant have been interwovenly evolving along parallel alongside
beer,
one another.
Beer, bread, weed. I mean, like, you know, foundations of civilization.
So you're going to give him a little bit of biology, and endocannabinoid system.
And just the knowledge.
And the prevalence of adult, this is how many
every
people
who use
it.
Every parent he knows smokes weed.
Oh, yeah?
Like, literally, I mean, 7 out of the 10
parents... Are you
going to
tell him that, or is that going to...
7 out of the 10 parents he knows smoke weed. 1 out of the 10 parents he knows smokes weed daily. Maybe 2 more, or 2 out of 10. Do I smoke with him?
Oh, no, really? No. With these, your...
Not on a regular basis, but of course, whenever, you know, whenever it's
convenient. That's a closet I haven't come out of yet either, is,
Oh, dude, what do you mean?
School
friends?
His classmates' parents, you know, the other parents at the school.
I guess you just don't feel you know him well enough.
I mean, we don't hang out...
Dude, we live in Potland, Oregon, man.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I know, it's ridiculous. I mean, that's totally also where I grew up, and that's something that's ingrained that, you know, that it can't be an aspect of successful parenthood. Like,
you would really see the cross-section of humanity in the dispensaries. I mean, it's beautiful.
But I'm just wondering if the public perception is up to date with that.
I would say in Portland, I would say... Of those aged 20 to 40, of those under 40, I would say it is, on a weekly basis, at least 60% of people. On a monthly basis, it's probably 70 or 80.
I always want to suss people out somehow.
I think... I don't know. No, it's just not that big a deal.
So what's your plan then for your youngest?
She'll be more trouble, or, you know, supposedly, just because she's a girl. We've got such a good relationship. She's such a great kid. So I'm not.
So
I'm
does
not
it, do you think that
I'm not concerned with my? I mean, I'm not.
Do you think that the topic of marijuana comes up around them and you still hide it away?
Yeah.
Do you still okay?
Yeah. And that's what I've done up until 6 months.
See, that's kind of what I started doing with my parents. I used to have books that I would flip around so that they couldn't read the title along the spine, you know, on my bookshelf.
Oh.
And then
yeah, well, I mean,
after
my
a few years,
sits up next to the bedside. But I mean, I am a patient, and I do believe it has had. I mean.
But in terms of, like, what you hide from, at least, I guess we're talking about your kids, but, I mean, anywhere.
The pipe. I don't leave the pipe out. I don't leave the glass out.
Okay.
I put it in the closet. But it's not, I'm not hiding it very well. I mean, I'm not hiding it,
yeah,
like,
yeah,
really
not,
hide. I'm, all my concentrates are always out on the table. I actually,
you're putting
Oscar
it, you're putting it away more.
Oscar saw the bag of weed yesterday. He, like, he was literally right next to the paper with them. And it was
did
flowers.
He notice it?
He didn't mention it, but I'm sure he just doesn't want to mention it. So honestly, he might not have noticed it because you're right. He'll focus on one thing and just the rest doesn't really matter. Because my vape pen always falls out. Actually, I've picked up my bowl before, but that was like a year ago out of the car. So I don't know. I mean, in some ways, it's not that big. It's just not that big a deal. Right? Like there's plenty of losers in the world. Some of them, there's plenty of winners. Some of them smoke weed and some of them don't. And wherever that Venn diagram is in the world, you know.
Have you ever been out in public with them or people have been smoking pot around you?
Well, yeah, man. You smell weed or, you know, at any street festival or wherever.
Do you think they've seen people smoking pot?
Yeah.
Sure. Okay. Well, that's cool. I feel like my son has seen people smoking pot under a variety of circumstances.
Yeah. Well, he has, yeah. When I first moved here, when this was under five and everything, I mean, when we hung out more, we really haven't hung out that much.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
But,
I do remember that.
But I was uncomfortable when we'd be smoking weed around us. It wasn't my favorite at all. But that's also because I didn't do it around my own kids. Right.
I remember one time having, I think it was this bubble right here, having it out when you lived down the...
Yeah. Right.
Down the way. And you're
down
like,
the way, yeah,
and you're like, dude, the kids are here. And I was just kind of, and that didn't even, I didn't know what that meant. Okay, well, like, I'll look out for them.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, because then turning in that meant put the pipe away.
Yeah. Well, right. So, of course, the kids are seen. I'm 50 people smoke food.
Just not you.
I don't think so. Although, I mean, I'm really not, like I said, I'm not going all to all those lengths to hide anything.
But you would like certainly
because I was out on the front porch and he pulled up with the, they smell it. They smell it when I'm smoking around the house.
Okay.
Yeah.
But would you ever smoke in the same room as them?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
I mean, not until my son's like, I don't know, 18, I guess. At 16, I wouldn't want to ever smoke with her while he was in high school. I don't think that'd be appropriate. In college, though.
I think I'd feel weird about that, too. See, that's where I'm thinking I am. The dorm room visit and being a corny dad who thinks he can hang.
Right.
Under those circumstances, maybe. I don't know.
You have concerns about smoking around? You smoke around all the time.
No, I'm saying, like, when I think, like, if he did choose to smoke when he got older.
Well, I'm sure he will, man. I mean, he will smoke weed at some point. Whether or not,
I don't know.
Of course he will.
Plenty of people don't.
Go through the whole lives?
Yeah.
In growing up in cities with parents who smoke weed?
Yeah, probably here, maybe not as much. I don't know.
You're not a churchgoer.
Well, I don't think that has a whole lot to do with it either.
I don't know, man.
I have no idea if any of the people at my church when I was growing up and I was a regular church attendee. I don't know how many of them. I don't get the impression that any of them smoked pot. But
you don't know. Dude, you need to go. You need to go to a dispensary, man.
I'm talking about in Virginia.
Well, I know, but
during the 80s.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Well, church. I mean, but they just generally don't because it's against God. Or I mean,
really?
Like, no, not. What am I trying to say? I'm trying to say that pot smokers are not the most kneeling down bunch. You know what I mean? Like, the power of weed is to release you to nature. I mean, not sit in a fucking church pew and listen to some... it's not about didacticism. It's not about, like, listening to one megaphone. It's about listening to everything, you know what I mean? And absorbing everything, or as much as you can, instead of, like, a single viewpoint. Which, if you go to church, you are absorbing a single viewpoint. And that's why I'm glad I'm not... I welcome spirituality into my life, but I'm really glad I'm not.
It's funny, I found out that on Sunday mornings I'd wound up doing my extended yoga and breath work.
Uh-huh.
And it'd be really cool because everyone in the house can sleep in, so it's real quiet, but, like, you know, I open the windows so, like, we hear the sounds that are outside. And I was realizing, like, doing that every Sunday morning, I was like, oh, that's so funny. Because, yeah, my parents would come out and every once in a while they'd ask, you know, are you guys going to church at all? And no. Like, Sunday morning's not a good... It's like kind of the one morning you're going to have to get up and start doing stuff immediately.
I find there's a level of fake nice to church people just every Sunday.
That's kind of my fear about checking out churches around here. The idea of people greeting me, trying to get me to come back again.
I fucking hate,
like,
that.
There's just a certain vibe about that, a take on that, that I just... is counter.
Welcome to our community!
Like, we're so glad you're here, you know?
I'm so glad you're here! Are you going to be here on Wednesday? We're going to have a study at 7:30.
There's actually been times where I've been in my backyard, under my fig tree, writing in my notebook and with my pipe, you know, under the shade in my backyard, and us and a couple of his friends came out to play. I remember just thinking, like, how well I knew the parents of each of those kids. What would they think if I was out here with my pipe? The kids came over wondering, should I light my pipe again? Would that be totally heinous? You know, would it be something that I would want to hide? I don't want to engage in anything I want to hide.
Yeah, but that's it. That's, you know, there's shit in life you do. We all want to, you know.
Well, I'm dependable. I mean, I would want them to view me as, they can view me as dependable and stone. I can be dependable and stone.
Right.
And how would they feel if I all of a sudden lay that on them, not talking to them, but now your kid is in the middle of it, and I hope you would have the same attitude that I do.
Right, it's just that I know the parents of my kids, and they all smoke weed.
See, I'm fairly certain one of his kids...
Not regularly. Well, no, one set of parents... Not regular at all, but, I mean, I have smoked with them, you know.
Yeah. I haven't hung out with these parents, so I don't know how they feel about other kids and other kids' parents. I was actually smoking a joint. I wasn't smoking a pipe. But, yeah, I was just smoking a joint in the backyard. And I came up, do I need to put this out? Kind of high already. Would I have continued smoking, or would I have let it burn down? Do I relight it? And, yeah, just having all those questions. I mean, they weren't paying any attention to me at all anyway.
Right. Well, that's, yeah, exactly. And that's the thing that we overestimate as adults, apparently.
Well, we're just as people, we always make it so self-centered. You know, thinking everybody's looking at you. It's anxiety. I mean, it's...
Yeah. I mean, I guess that's part of the purpose of this thing, man, is, like, to let go of some of that shame and move on.
Right. They're playing in the backyard that has 3 marijuana plants growing in it. I guess I never had to come out of the closet before, because everyone always assumed I did, and I was always trying to keep it a secret. And now I'm totally not interested in keeping secrets anymore, but no one assumes it, so I'm in this weird, always waiting to see when a topic comes up. And, like, and then I have to figure out if it's appropriate for me to enter the conversation in active first-person sense. Or at least suss out people's views if it's a current event or a... piece of legislation or something, you know.
Oh yeah, when did you put yours in?
Early July, kind of late, but they were starters, so they had already been.
Uh-huh. Where'd you get them?
It was from this garden that was advertising on Craigslist. This one garden I was going through, and after like 8 days, I just was not coming to consensus with their main grower, and so I was like, oh my god, this is taking, you know, forever, and I'm not getting these, and it's getting later in the season. So there was another group that was posting, another farm that was posting, so I responded to them, and like within 2 days, I was getting plants I wanted for a price that was all right, and they were already not pruned, but they had been, I guess it would be considered pruned. You know, instead of like one stalk in the middle, they were going to go four different ways, pretty big.
Well, how much you pay?
They were kind of expensive, actually. They wound up being $50 each.
Each?
Yeah.
Whoa, how tall?
They were probably like 18 inches or something. When
oh,
I
Oh, dude. Really?
The people I was having the communication crazy, breakdown man. With, they wanted like 80 to 100 for each one.
What?
And I was just like,
dude. Oh, my God.
Yeah, I think I'm going
to
have
California.
To
no,
like,
you go to
come in there and talk
like
to you.
$20.
Like, yeah, I mean, that's what they are here too. Yeah, 15 or... Oh, and that was the thing. My sprouts... So I had seeds from last year, and those were sprouting, and every time I transplanted them to my raised bed in the backyard, the fucking crows would pull them out. They would just pull them out and drop them. They wouldn't even carry them away for their nest or anything. And I was like, God damn it. After they went through all of mine like that, where I figured out that I could actually lay a grate over the top and keep them away, I wound up getting these other plants, these other two. And then two of mine sprouted. One of them turned male. One of mine that sprouted turned male, the one from seed. So I have got one from seed and then the two that I bought. And the one from seed is actually already kind of flowering a bit. One of them got hit really hard by the heat wave and didn't stretch at all during the vegetative stage. So it's really short and really leafy. It's really bushy. It looks like Cousin Ed. It's this really dark indigo that never stretched. So it's just super dense in there.
Okay, so you got flowers?
Yeah. When they're not smelling a whole lot yet, though.
When are you harvesting?
Whenever they tell me they're ready, you know.
Yeah.
Or when the weather dictates. Once
you
get,
you get 2 ounces from each, or that's a half, or?
I don't really tend to size up my plants that way. I don't know how big the flowers are going to get.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know.
People,
I mean, one of them's pretty tall.
A month ago,
I mean,
so how tall are they? How tall?
The tallest one, okay, like, let's say this is the floor, not the raised bed. Well, actually, no, let's say this is the top of the raised bed. The tallest one is probably, like, about here.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually cut two of them on this side, so it's like super candelabra shaped.
Okay.
Sativa-ish, like long stretched, and the bud nodes are really far apart, so you can really see like a big like skeleton kind of.
Uh-huh.
And then another one is this height-ish. And then that bushy one is probably like down here. God, maybe even lower.
Hmm. Okay, sweet.
I juiced my male plant because I've been reading a little bit about juicing cannabis, but I didn't juice it with anything, which you really should do, because it's found it being this really thick paste, very green paste, like wheatgrass shot, basically.
Oh, okay.
So I'm gonna mix that with water to get it down. I'll be doing that with a bunch of the leaves, the big fan leaves, too, when I harvest. I'll juice those with a bunch of apples or something.
Okay. Just some composted apples?
No, like actual ready-to-eat apples. Oh. There'll be a lot of pears and stuff around that time anyway. The apple and pear harvest.
Oh, just to get more, just to get that flavor out of
them. Yeah, and just to make it more juicy and wetter.
Because
there's not a whole, you know, there's a lot more juice in like a, you know, an apple or a pear than there is in a, you know, a leaf, a cannabis leaf.
Sure.
Coming out to kids. Do you know anyone who's talked to you about actively coming out to their kids, or have you noticed how other people are with their kids around?
Most parents play the same uncomfortable dance, but I don't know any kids who are... I mean, I don't know any parents whose kids are older, really.
What's older, like teenager?
Well, yeah.
Okay.
15, 16. I know a kid who's 14, but he lives pretty sheltered. He doesn't go to school. but he's taught nothing in homeschool.
I feel like cannabis is a lot more entrenched even in the high school culture here than it was where we grew up. So I do wonder how that's going to play out once my son is in high school. Because it was still pretty verboten, I feel, in our high school.
We know, yeah, exactly. There, again, that... thrilling. Makes you don't have smoke weed. Well, I don't know. I mean, like, let's say by senior year, at least a third of kids had tried it, if not, you know, or somewhat on the regular. And then by college, pretty much everybody's tried it. Right? I mean, by 19, like, three quarters of adults have tried marijuana.
I don't know, man. I mean, I don't feel like... I didn't get that vibe when I was in Richmond at VCU.
Yeah, I mean, we're on the West Coast, you're right. I think, okay, so three quarters of West Coasters.
A high school student made a really good documentary.
I mean, dude,
like a local one here.
There's so much demand for weed. I mean, it's crazy. Weed is huge money.
Yeah, but there certainly seems to be a lot of consumption going on.
You should go to that Main Street Marijuana, man. I mean, fucking people just go...
Oh, my God, yeah.
Have you been in there? It is so busy.
Every time
it's
I check their prices online...
No, it's not like, bad. No, it's not Christ. It's not nearly as bad. I go $2.25 for 2 grams.
Do they sell...
So four grams for $50.
Do they
bucks.
Sell, like, old-school hashish there? Like, blonde?
No, no concentrates. Black? No fucking concentrates on that shit, man. It sucks. It's so lame.
See, that's the only thing I'm really interested in. I mean, I can buy
Yeah, that's the only thing
here.
I'm interested in. Yeah.
I mean, there's killer flower here, you know, and I don't really do much vape. I don't really dab or do anything with concentrates. Yeah, so I guess...
Oh, I have this really good dab you should have here. I'll load it up.
Well, if you got the plants, are you going to keep the plant year to year or no? No.
Yeah, I mean, I want to. Like, I figure as long as I'm smoking.
Okay.
And it'll be enough to last me a year.
Okay, the weed?
Yeah, I only harvested one plant in 2013, and that lasted me at the Rainbow Gathering the next summer. I was just giving a whole bunch of it away.
Oh, wow.
That kind of became my thing at that gathering, was just getting a bud and then kind of walking around the gathering to see who was hard at work and needed a break, sit down and meet some new people. But yeah, I had a whole bunch of it. It lasted me a year. That was only one plant, and it lasted me probably like 10 months.
Right.
So if I have three plants flowering, I mean, I'm guessing that'll...
You're going to be giving me some.
Yeah, man.
Hell, you could process some of your own, like concentrate or whatever.
Well, I think I will get... I might invest in a sift box, like a sifting box, and put it on the back of my bike so that when I ride around, it agitates it. And then that would give me the key. That'll be really cool. I'll be able to do that with a lot of the sugar leaf from the plants. Because I used to just look at the sugar leaf and be like,
oh, yeah,
that'd be good for joints.
No, there's tons of crime. What are those combs?
Trichomes.
Trichomes? There's tons of trichomes on them. Because there have been the trichomes even fall, so they'll like fall on those leaves. So you get it. Yeah, it's good. Difference.
Oh, they fall off the flowers onto the leaves? Oh, shit, I didn't know that.
Yeah, anytime the wind blows or.
Oh, that makes sense.
Gets
Yeah. Ooh, that'll be a great thing because I get tons of wind in my backyard, man.
But it's good to catch all that stuff, but it doesn't do good to make keef. Some people will do that. And it's way better to keep the crystals on the flower or unless you're processing it to make concentrate.
Oh, I figured I'd just make some keef and then sprinkle it on top of bowls of flour.
Yeah, right. Well, you can do whatever you want. You got plenty now. Three plants. That's pretty
good. I
know.
I have a bunch. I want to give it away in the best ways I can. I've got a friend with some property out in Corbett. And I'm thinking of a harvest exchange there. The OLCC's been really cool with the language they're using of adults sharing. They've actually been kind of encouraging adults to share, like a non-monetary exchange kind of thing. And I'm like, that'd be great if all, like, the first year of legal outdoor backyard grows. Yeah, if we all just exchange what we came up with.
Yeah, but so how do you, because aren't your neighbors not supposed to be able to see your plants?
Yeah, I mean, they... Well, I guess it depends on which neighbors. I've had one set of neighbors come over.
So here, hit that button for just 2 seconds, and then that's it.
Okay.
Don't hold it for too long.
And don't hold it?
Don't
let it get too hot. Don't let the ring get too hot.
Well, okay.
So hold it for 2 seconds. And hold
and suck.
And
I'll
the
count.
Heat is on. Okay.
And I'll tell you to stop. Okay, let go. Perfect. Because that can really stick to your throat if you let it burn too hot. And if you...
I think I feel it already.
Yeah, you do. it'll stick to your throat. Do you feel how it kind of sticks? It tastes pretty good.
I mean, I feel the vapor. I feel how, yeah.
You can light it longer then. Go ahead. You didn't get a real good hit. There's more in there.
Okay, I shouldn't fill up my lungs entirely, right?
No, you can.
Just keep on sucking. I just feel funny hitting it like 18-inch bong, you know, like that you load up with a huge...
Oh, hold it down. That's another big key. That's key, actually, with that one, because it melts.
Okay.
I forgot to say that. So you have to hold it down.
So press for like 2 seconds and then start sucking?
You can press for longer, but you'll feel it. Once you start to feel it in your throat, you'll definitely let go of the button.
See, that's the thing, is I usually don't feel it.
Right. You don't feel mine, it always sticks in my throat. It's just like, oh. Huh. Let me see that.
I taste it, though.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Do we have any... Wow, this made my voice weird.
Yeah, okay, so don't... Yeah, exactly. I guess you did suck at like an 18... What did you say? Like an 18-foot bong?
Yeah. To get like the full lung full of absorption or whatever.
Well, now it did fuck up your voice, yeah. See, like I said, that's the one drawback, but it's a great taste and it's a great feeling.
I'm sure once I learn my way around it, I'll be able to make good.
I got a good hit on it. Tasty. Really tasty.
I've heard people talk about having kids and not getting high anymore, and now I'm starting to hear people talk about having kids and still getting high. Getting high and playing with your kid instead of kind of having them play and they're doing something while you're doing something else. You know,
well, right.
Activity joining.
That's the beauty of weed. I mean, the present moment and appreciating what is right in front of you.
Right, yeah. Right.
I mean, it's the fucking downfall of society, all this distraction. People don't talk anymore. They just stare at their fucking phones. We're going to lose our voices and our ears. You know what I mean? We're just going to have fucking thumbs.
We're going to have 10
thumbs. On cell phones. I look forward to that interface going away. I guess it will go away eventually in the next 20 years. But
I'm figuring, it kind of has to. I think back of other technologies, and they flashed really hard at first, and then they just kind of got settled and tempered into the society. And so I'm trying to think of... What is this an example? What are some other examples?
Without the phone, I mean, you always have to have a visual screen for the info. And you can always, with the Internet of Things, we'll be able to just talk to the house and tell the house to turn the light off or whatever. Whichever environment change you want will be controlled by the Internet-connected devices. But, just the concept of texting, man. Like, texting instead of talking. Because there's no tone of voice. Like, the voice is what separates us from everything else.
Yeah.
You can't sing a text.
Quality of voice, it's a completely different medium. It's a completely distinct medium from, you know, even journaling or interpreting it through a musical instrument or a critical analysis or anything. What I'm hoping to do is to kind of hear the stories that I tell over and over again. Old stories get re-examined. The morals taken from them and the values that are exemplified by them get recontextualized and updated. Instead of having a story that I used to tell that meant one thing about me, I realized, it actually happened differently. Instead of complaining, I should be thankful. I didn't read it that way for the longest time.
Yeah. Well, that's the other thing we teach is gratitude. I'm a much more grateful person because I smoke weed. I'm a much more grateful person because I went through a lot of shit. But, that's it, right? If you're going to find some happiness... whichever day you happen to be in and whichever life, you can find something to be thankful for.
People don't fucking make it, man. People don't make it to 40. My mom showed me this clip about the CDC declaring our high school. They were called in because there were, I guess, 6 suicides in a 2-year
period. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I know, man. I posted that article on Facebook.
Okay.
I mean, no big surprise, I guess, but, you know, shit.
Yeah, people don't make it to 40 in our school. There are people who are not making it this far.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got into gratitude probably only a couple of years ago. But I've just recently, this summer, incorporated it into my daily practice.
I need it. I mean, I count it, like, often to go to sleep at night, or
often to get through a rough spot during the day where I feel like more is expected of me than I can deliver, and, you know, like you're stressed out, thinking about, complaining about something or someone, or in your own head running through something that either you haven't done or somebody else did that hurt your feelings, but then you just count the things that are worth being thankful for. Grace, gratitude, grace.
And if we're going to talk about unifying consciousness, then a pretty good doorway right there is gratitude.
Yeah.
When you recognize what you have to be thankful for, and you're thankful to the world for it.
That's another doorway to God.
Yeah, and you see how the world provides for you.
Yeah, exactly. That it doesn't take as much effort as you think it does. But being grateful eases the burden. It really does. Because complaint is fucking the worst. And that's the opposite of gratitude, right? Complaint.
Yeah.
And complainers are tough. Like serial complainers and the tone of complaint. People who sing the song. People who don't hear their own voice singing the song of complaint so often.
Mm.
But like they're just because that's the way they speak. Like, they just speak in tones of complaint.
Yeah, that's a bad habit, man, because it just, that infects,
it's negativity.
You know, constitution, your whole emotional well-being, man.
Right.
It infects it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I feel like complaining is, I mean, not that I don't do it, but I feel like it's indicative of a larger trait. A friend of mine is reading something that she posted about the 7 habits of people who this, that, or the other. And one of them is complaining, and I feel like really symptomatic of keeping yourself closed off from what life is offering you.
Right.
Or
limitation. It's about setting limitations.
Yeah, it's basically, you know, it's so unproductive and it just kind of mires you and increases your suffering and your burden and your lack of will to do anything about it.
Right.
You know, it just decreases your chance of doing anything about it.
Yeah.
Right. I've had a lot of good time watching airplanes land at the airport this summer.
Oh my God, well, that's so funny you said that, because I've had a lot of fun watching the airplanes take off. Oh, did you see one up there?
I see one. Yeah,
yeah, well, I see them in this triangle right across the roof. It's the same flight pattern every time, every 5 minutes.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it's pretty great.
So, yeah, there was one, we were in Washington. There was your birthday party, and then last night we went to see Movies in the Park. They showed The Incredibles at Parker's High School, and that's right fucking there by Marine Drive in the airport. So, yeah, it was awesome. Mm-hmm. Super just open
sky.
Yeah,
you know,
no trees around.
Yeah, I like that beach over there. Not the beach we were at. I mean, I like the beach we were at. We've been out at the river, Willamette Park, down at Oaks Park.
Oh, okay. I've heard that that's a good place
Selwood,
to get in.
Yeah, right there at Selwood. Yes, exactly. It's a great little beach right there. It really is. Have you gone out swimming or pool?
We went High Point or High Rock or something like that. It's down off exit 10 off the 205, and it's the Clackamas River, and it's got a couple of really high jumps if you're into the cliff jumping thing.
Oh, no kidding. I would love that.
And there's a lifeguard on duty.
What?
Crazy, right?
Oh, shit.
Oh, my God, man.
Wait, where
it
is
blew
this
my
exit
mind.
10 off the 205?
Yeah.
Clackamas.
Yeah. I can, I'll send you a...
Yeah, you gotta send me something. Send me something.
Yeah, I know there's a pinpoint, but my phone is...
Would you
20th
call it?
Century pinpoint? Is that
no,
called?
No, but like.
Oh, like high point.
High point. Okay.
It's high sun. It's
high sun. Okay.
It's not high jump, it's but it's like, yeah.
Dig it, man. Guard a little lifeguard. It's great.
Yeah. But there's like American Red Cross stuff up there. Yeah, super well built young teenage guy, and he actually took his float board out on the water and did like push ups on it at one point.
Nice.
I
nice.
Was like, holy shit! This dude's lifeguarding his head off.
Used to be a lifeguard.
Yeah?
Yeah, right.
I'll certainly be able to make a very interesting half hour out of this.
Sweet.
Like on topic with a pace.
Right.
And a trajectory.
Nice.
So there you have it, friends. 1 hour and 20 minutes of how to consume cannabis responsibly and effectively. Make some time for it. get comfortable, set the mood, talk about family, spin hypotheses, enjoy your surroundings. All in all, it adds up to a perfectly sensible session. This is what Legal Pot looks and sounds like. Now this is the part where I, as the host, am supposed to hit you up for money in one form or another. But I'm not gonna. Why not? 'Cause I don't need that. But seriously, my only expenses have been the hardware that I record this on, which was $100 spent 2.5 years ago, and then $100 a year to WordPress for the website to host this podcast. So then it's just my own time, which I'm not going to charge you for. Even the software I edit on, a program called Audacity, is free. I'm sure you could tell. That's why it sounds like a mixtape made on a boombox. Hey, if you want to donate to the show, you can donate your sound engineering expertise so these episodes don't sound like jerry-rigged patchwork. There are so many topics to explore with future guests. Best practices and ingestion rituals, workplace changes, neighborhood relations, racial dimensions, social implications, feminist implications, media, re-education, destigmatization. Please return for future episodes so we can unearth more tools and support for you to engage with the new paradigm we're all easing into.